Great job. Wow, very nice job.
You were supposed to ring.
Yeah, I know, I was. I've been called a ringer before, but anyhow. Real bell ringer. My grandmom told me the derivation of that phrase, bell ringer. Back in the day, when people were buried, they attached a line, Gene, you know, to their finger, and if they were still alive, they could pull and it would ring the bells. That's a bell ringer. Well, anyhow, there was a preacher named Nate Evans, and he was in Nevada. He's going through the desert down the road all the time, and these cars would go flying by, and he'd have this sign up, repent, for the end is near. Repent, for the end is near. And old Nate, he wasn't too happy because not that many people stopped. They just kept whizzing by. Finally, he comes upon this place out there in the middle of nowhere, and it says, it's a big lever. It's a big honking lever. And it says, if you want to end the world, pull the lever down. So Nate thinks this is the place for me to preach. And he just camps out there, and car after car keeps coming in. And now it's backed up on the highway, and it's kind of a hazard. And this big 18-wheeler comes down, and all of a sudden, this guy has to make a decision. Do I hit Nate, or do I hit the lever? Well, he decides to hit Nate, and when he's being interviewed by the highway patrol, they said to him, why did you do that? He said, well, better Nate than lever. Sorry. That was bad, wasn't it? It's way too early for that. I laughed my head off last night when I read that. You know, but anyhow. Well, I was bored. I was very bored. Anxiety, though, we do all suffer from it, don't it? We see the current state of the world and we wonder. Particularly after what happened in California just the other day. Did the shooter died? Didn't he? Did he not?
Yes.
He did die. You know, what's interesting about that is his dad had just died. So he did not handle his grief very well. They had no connection with anything. But his dad was really into guns and bullets. Always working with bullets and stuff. So my hunch is he wanted to go be with his dad, but he took some people out with him in the process. Not good. Not good, you know. I mean, it's days are dark. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. You know, rarely do we think, though, like our friend Nate in our opening joke, that the end is near. The end is near. The disciples are seeing in Jerusalem this magnificent temple. There's all these gifts from foreign nations on it, gifts to God. It's absolutely gorgeous. They say it was like a great snow-capped mountain. Just came up over everything. As I was going to my neighborhood Walmart yesterday to get my wife another 6 boxes of Kleenex, I took Mackie and I went up Church Lane there to the neighborhood Walmart, and it is amazing how big the homes are that are being built on that ridge, you know, and it's just, I'm like looking at it like, wow, what is going on here? Who's moving into these places? Like you, I'm thinking here and now. I'm not thinking eternally. That's all going to be gone. Just like the temple. It's going to go. And I think we don't think eternally a lot of the time. But what's interesting is the church calendar pushes us there. It's the end of the church year. Next Sunday's Christ the King Sunday. Then we move right into Advent. Bam, right? And so this is the end of the church calendar. And so what does it give us? It gives us this passage where Christ is coming back, where Jerusalem's being destroyed. And I don't know if you remember Senator Bill Bradley, played basketball for Princeton, took them to the Final Four. He was a senator from Missouri, played with the New York Knicks, won a couple championships with them as well. He wrote a book that I read called A Sense of Where You Are. And he was talking about a sense of where you were on the basketball court, because you got to know where you're at. If you're in the paint or you're not, or you're behind the three-point line or wherever, you got to know where you're at all times. But he was also talking about life. Well, someone who didn't know where she was a lady named Lauren Rosenberg back in 2010. She was in Park City, Utah. And she decided to use her Google BlackBerry device to give her directions from her house to a friend's house. And it took her out Route 224. What Google didn't tell her was that there were no sidewalks there. And lo and behold, she was hit by a car. She sued Google for not telling her that there were no sidewalks there, saying it was their fault that she didn't recognize this was a difficult route to go. And as a direct and proximate cause of defendant Google's careless, reckless, and negligent providing of unsafe directions, plaintiff Lauren Rosenberg was led onto a dangerous highway, this is what her lawyer said, and was thereby stricken by a motor vehicle, causing her to suffer severe permanent physical, emotional, and mental injuries. That was the complaint filed in the Park County District Court. In 2011, she lost the case. Yeah. Google had no relationship with her. They were not to protect her or to provide protection for her. She didn't really have a good sense of where she was, did she? Do we have a good sense of where we are spiritually? I ask you that this morning. Do you know that we're living in the last days? Yep. In Luke 21:6, Jesus had to refocus his disciple from the temple to the end times. And in Hebrews 1, verse 2, it says, God has spoken to us in these last days by his Son. And Peter mentioned it in his famous sermon on Pentecost in Acts 2. So Jesus says to them, as for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. They were caught up in the here and now. Jesus wanted them to know as he approached his death what would happen after that. He was trying to comfort them and tell them, give them a little bit of a prediction here of what was going to happen to them. He wasn't thinking of himself as he faced the cross. He's thinking of his disciples and what's going to happen to him. They asked him, when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they're about to take place? We all want that, don't we? We've had people saying their signs for the end of the world, for Jesus' return forever and a day. He could have said, where's your faith? Or the one I hate, calm down. Or don't worry, we win in the end. You know? But he didn't. So why did he answer them and answer us today? Verse 9 gives us the answer. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Did you hear Jesus say, when you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened? Frightened is not the normal term for fear. That is the word phobias, where we get the word phobia from. This is another word, to e'o, and it refers to a deep sense of terror and emotional distress. He didn't want his disciples to stress out over nations, rising against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, floods, all of that. Climate change, if I may. But anyhow, I won't go there. He tells them all these things must take place. Must here is dei in the Greek. It's the imperative that it's God's divine plan. This has to take place. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. Things will fall apart. But he's got their backs. In fact, he tells them the persecution they will experience as well will give them a platform to preach the gospel. Excuse me, they'll be able to be his witnesses. And when they stand before the authorities, don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't even plan for what you're going to say. Because I'm going to give you the words, I'm going to give you the wisdom that's going to confound your accusers and your adversaries. So just trust me. Don't worry. I've got your back. He's telling them that things are going to fall apart, but he's with them and he'll never leave them. They will be given up by family members and some even put to death, but not a hair of their heads will perish. This must mean eternally because they're going to be put to death. Not a hair of their head's going to perish. They will live for eternity. All he asks for them is to hang in there for him. Remember he told them earlier in Luke 17, 32 and 33. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will preserve it. Jesus is again telling them and us to expect persecution, but persevere with patient faith. Don't look back to what you're losing. You'll lose your life like Lot's wife did. Instead, look ahead to what you're gaining. Eternal life with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ forever and ever. Stay faithful. You trusted Christ for your salvation. As you received him as your Savior and Lord, walk in him, Colossians tells us. When things fall apart, He's got our backs. Jesus is a good, good father who tells his kids that there's thunder coming when the black clouds, are in the sky. He's warning them. It stands to reason that the disciples would think the world was ending with the destruction of Jerusalem. That would be it. It would be over. But he says, no. There's times of the Gentiles have to be fulfilled. It won't happen then. It'll happen sometime much later. There'll be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars that will cause concern in everybody except believers. Why? Because Jesus has told us, he's guaranteed us that these things must happen first before he returns. So we don't need to worry. His will be done. Thy kingdom come. We pray it every Sunday, all the time. But before that happens, as we walk by faith with the one who died in our place for our sins on that cross, to give us eternal life, it will get darker. It seems to me it's getting darker every day as our culture and the way of life is threatened by socialism and people who have no sense of our history and how many have given up their lives for our freedoms, for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I don't know about you, but I was so moved last Sunday with Richard's presentation, if you happened to be there. It deeply affected me to see what he went through. He was flying solo. Nobody came. Nobody had his back that day. He was all by himself, but he prayed that prayer, the Lord's Prayer, I think incessantly. And he prayed before he left. He prayed in the air, and he trusted his Lord and Savior to keep him safe. And you and I both know that the only reason he's here today is that God wants him here today to share that story with us. And I struggle just personally when I hear people who don't respect men like Richard, who put their lives on the line, and people like our police and ER people and first responders and all that. I just struggle with that personally. And I think as authority is questioned and challenged over and over again, things are getting darker. As Paul calls it, the mystery of lawlessness is occurring at this moment. So I'm concerned, and the scripture says that it's going to get darker. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says this, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Get this, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with such people. Paul tells us another place, evil communication corrupts good manners. It's going to get darker before he returns. But John tells us what? In John chapter 1, the darkness will never overcome the light. Never, ever. Jesus wants us all to know that if we believe in him and what he did for us on the cross, our sins are forgiven. We have his righteousness, and even if we lose our lives for his sake, we will live forever with him. Sometimes in our lives, though, we think he's not there. We think he doesn't care. May I remind you that he told his disciples and us when he gave the great commission, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And in Hebrews 13, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us always in the person of the Holy Spirit who indwells believers given to us at our baptisms. And even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. Those of us who went to the Michael W. Smith concert the other night over at Layton Christian Academy, there was a song they sang called Waymaker. And it's affected me, listening to that song. Touched me deeply. It says the Lord Jesus is a way maker. He's a miracle worker, a promise keeper. He's light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are. He's light in that darkness. His word is a light unto our path, a lamp unto our feet. And more than once in my life, I've experienced him as a way maker. I remember getting to my apartment the very first day that I attended Dallas Theological Seminary. They had given me an apartment off campus along with other students. I had decided not to marry the sweetheart of Florida Bible College and ended that engagement. And I got so depressed while working in Philadelphia at Central Penn National Bank that my dad had gotten me the job there in the vault counting money, Don, I didn't even want to go to Dallas. I got on a plane. I said, God, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know why I'm going. I don't know what's happening. You can't use me. I got nothing to offer. I don't know anything. I don't know why you've even brought me here. I thought I was nothing but a failure and that God couldn't use me. But I read a verse that God brought to me from Philippians 1:6. And I hung on that verse every day in my first year, at least in my first year, if not other years, at Dallas Seminary. And even now, it's Philippians 1:6, where Paul told the believers at Philippi, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it at the day of Christ Jesus. He began that good work in you and in me by giving us the faith to believe that his son died in our place and paid for our sins. He'll complete the work in each of us that he began in each of us one day. And he'll complete that when we see him. For when we see him, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, John tells us in 1 John 3:2. Do you know where you are spiritually? You're squarely in God's hand. And John 10 tells us no one can ever snatch us out of his hand. And Paul tells us in Romans, neither height nor depth, neither things present nor things to come, neither angel nor demon, nor anything in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, come even now. This morning, may we remember, even when things are falling apart in this world, or in our lives, he has our backs. And all God's people said.